Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Kevin is here, counting down minutes until he goes out and broadcasts Shikellamy football.
144 minutes and 20 seconds. I'm sorry, 143 minutes and 20 seconds.
Really?
Really.
You're that excited.
143 and 10 seconds now.
Okay.
It's going to take you a little bit more time to figure out how long to kick off.
Who, me?
Yes.
It's 20 hours.
Yeah, but I have it down to the second. Come on.
Well, kickoff is 12:07. It's 4:07, 20 hours. All right. Sorry. You okay there?
Why is everything so easy? That's what I want to know for you. Everything is so stinking easy. It's only 24 or 20 hours. It just happened that the clock ticks over to 4:07 when I say to you, I bet you don't know how long it is. Yeah, kickoff's 12:07. 20 hours.
Sorry.
It just comes that easily. It's disgusting.
It's my thrill to disgust you. The play-by-play voice of Ohio University football is Russ Eisenstadt. Russ, he and I did a TV show together yesterday, and I'll be on his pregame show on the Ohio University Network tomorrow for a brief period of time. Joins us now, Russ. Great to have you on board, man.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Doing great. Let's talk a little bit about OU football for a moment, because Frank Solich has himself quite a team. And I'll start out with a question I talked about with you when we did the TV show. They won 10 games last year. They went to the MAC title game. Then went to another bowl game under Frank. But this time they won it. And it's the first time in school history they've done that, when they beat Utah State 24-23. What did that do for the psyche of the program and the off-season program for Ohio University?
Well, all of the hard work, all of the years of waiting, all really erupted in just euphoria in Boise, Idaho on that night, and that really has translated to an even more focused football team this go-around. They got a taste of it, and they want even more of it. I remember when I was in school, I'd covered Bruce Weber's Southern Illinois teams before he went to Illinois. He said, you know, when you get a taste of a good steak, you want that steak again. You just want to keep eating steak. So after that Sweet 16 season, Southern Illinois basketball continued to move on. And the same thing can happen for Ohio football. They want a taste of it again, and they've been working hard enough to get that taste again. And hopefully in Game 14 this year, there's another bowl championship.
There's also something that fell into place for him along the way. He found himself a quarterback last year, and that quarterback has a great athletic pedigree. Mickey Tettleton's son, Tyler Tettleton. He's carved out his own name in all this, which is exactly what his dad wanted him to do. 3,000-plus yards passing last year, 28 touchdowns, only 10 picks, but also 10 rushing touchdowns to go with the 600-plus yards he gained last year. In this offense, what makes him a special component that makes it all go?
I believe the trust that the coaching staff and his teammates place in him. You mentioned about his ability to run, and no bigger touchdown came last year than the last one, and that was Tyler using his legs to scamper for the far side pylon, knock it down and get into the end zone in the touchdown that led to the extra point that beat Utah State. And in that play right there, if you watch the game, which I know you have, and if Penn State fans watch the game, you see that play and you see smarts, you see guts, you see toughness, you see all those big words that we bestow upon big-time football players, and you see it in Tyler right there. And his ability to lead, earns the trust of the coaching staff and the players. He's smart. He's mature. He's all the things that you need from a player that some are, say, undersized, but he certainly acts like a 6'2", 6'3", quarterback, even though he's right around 6 feet.
Also, it was a rather inauspicious beginning to that game because after a great job by Ohio University on the goal line and got the ball back from Utah State, there was a safety right away where Tettleton had to get the ball out of the end zone. So you haven't won a bowl game and you start that way. What does that tell us about his mental toughness, the way he bounced back from that inauspicious start?
Well, he's unflappable. He's unconditional. He knows that the ball game's going to be a long one, and he has another play to make, and he has more chances to overcome what happened there. Yeah, that was awful. Really, there's no other way of saying it. It was worse fears maybe realized, the enormity of the moment, maybe being too much. But obviously, after that play and towards the end of the ball game, Ohio proved to be the better team on that day and very worthy of a bowl championship. And Penn State people in the past used to those big moments and all that. I don't think Penn State people can understand what it meant to Ohio. I know it's the Idaho Potato Bowl. It's not the Orange Bowl. It's not whatever else. But it felt like that. And if you can somehow kind of, you know, go to March Madness kind of mentality where you identify with teams that are underdogs that win, and finally reach that moment. That's exactly what it was like for Ohio last year. And so if you use that analogy and if you can imagine that somehow, all of those things, player-wise, team-wise, everything else, that's what rolls into this year.
Well, let me put it to you this way. I think 4-plus years from now when Penn State has a chance to go back to something like that, regardless of where it happens to be, they will have the feeling that you're talking about right now because they will know how special it is.
No question. I think every Ohio fan hopes for that, too, for Penn State as well.
Yeah. Last year, though, he also was coupled in the backfield with a 1,000-yard runner in Harden. He's moved on. So this year, between Ryan Boykin and Bo Blankenship, what kind of compliment can they give to Tyler Tettleton in the backfield?
I think that Bo is the muscle, and I think Boykin can certainly be the speed on the edge. Ryan was kind of hampered by injury through fall camp, but he should be good to go for the ball game tomorrow. But you'll see two guys that are brought in at different situations. Bo's going to be the feature back, the number one guy, and they're working behind a pretty veteran, very cohesive offensive line. That's going to give him an even greater chance, too. I think that these two guys will complement each other very well. They did at the end of the season last year with Dante Harden, and now with even more carries split amongst the two of these guys, Ohio has a chance to be a pretty formidable running team in addition to having a good running quarterback.
Levon Brazil is with the Indianapolis Colts now, so a guy that steps up, Deontay Foster, tell us about what he brings to the table and the reliability that Tyler Tettleton has in him.
Oh, he's a big play guy. He really is, and he's excitement. He's enthusiastic for the game. He likes a lot of parts of the game, and I think he likes some attention too, which isn't a bad thing. I think a lot of us are in broadcasting or sports that like that attention a little bit. I think he does too. He's got a little bit of LeVon in him from that standpoint. LeVon had that. But I think it's understandable when you make the big plays that Dante or LeVon made that you get excited about it. The fade route has been a mainstay for Ohio. And now we've had some pretty good wide receivers over the past couple of years in Mid-American Conference play. And I think Dante could be another one of those. And his ability to gel with Tyler goes back to where they're from. They're both Oklahoma kids. They represent that 405 area code, so that helps a great deal.
With Russ Eisenstadt, the fine play-by-play voice of Ohio University football. Thompson, the tight end. Tyler likes to use his tight ends. What does he bring to the table?
Thompson is a kid that I think everybody would love to know and to be around, and I think you could see that on the football field too. Jordan is great off the field as he is on the field. He's got a good body. He's got some strength. When he has a ball in his direction, he's gonna catch it. Good hands, very, very smart. I remember when we were in New Orleans for the bowl game a couple of years ago, on the way back to the hotel, we saw him going into, there's a World War II museum in New Orleans, and he wanted to go check that out. So I, while that isn't a real football thing, that tells you about the mentality of this young man. He thinks the game's all the way through. He's got a blow-up kind of inflatable mattress that he'll pull out in the meeting room if he needs to take a quick nap when he's not watching film, while he's watching film. So that tells you everything you need to know about Jordan Thompson. This is the deepest tight end core in the MAC, and it's the best tight end core that Ohio has ever had.
And Jordan Thompson, by the way, one of the four co-captains this year for Frank Solich. Let's flip to the other side of the ball. I actually have a lot of Blair County, Altoona area kids on this team. One of them is Alfonso Lewis. Give us an idea of how he has developed, and then give us a little insight into the defensive end, Tremaine Scott, that needs to be handled.
Yeah, you know, it's great that there are the local ties here, and I know it's an important game for Alfonso. I know it's an important game for Neil Wynn, who's from Altoona. I think the linebacking core is the weakness of this defense, at least what is seen as a weakness right now, because Ohio lost Noah Keller, who went on to the St. Louis Rams camp. He's a Nebraska guy. He was the anchor of the defense. And so it's up to guys like Alfonso Lewis now from that linebacking core to step up. These guys can make some plays. I think Jimmy Burrow, Ohio's defensive coordinator, has done a good job of utilizing the linebacker in the system to be aggressive. Even though Travis carries out from the secondary, there's still enough depth there that I think that Ohio can gamble with the linebackers a little bit more. And the same thing with Alfonso. He's a ball hawk. He could get there and make a surefire tackle and make a play. The defensive line will give the linebackers a chance. And so what's seen as a weakness will be bolstered by the other areas of the defense right now.
And I mentioned Tremaine Scott as part of that.
Yeah.
What do you like? What do you like about him, Russ?
Yeah, you know, Tremaine's a good kid. I like him a lot. I like visiting with him a lot on tape and off tape. He's a guy that had a breakthrough season personally last year, over 60 tackles. He wants to conclude his senior year the right way. He's a guy that wants to step up along with Neil Wynn to be a real anchor of the defensive line. He can break through blocks very well. I think his technique is very good. You'll see it tomorrow, and I think it'll be an interesting challenge against Penn State's offensive line. I think it's a challenge he can win.
What about Matt Weller? What kind of weapon is Matt Weller for you in the, you know, if for the entire team, that comfort level that if you get the ball to the 30-yard line, give me the confidence level when the ball gets to the 30, this team's going to get points.
They are as confident as you could be in a kicker. You know, things happen from time to time, and you might miss a kick or two. When Matt Weller misses a kick, you kind of look around and think, well, gosh, what happened there? He's not supposed to do that. He doesn't do that. He has a great leg. He's the best kicker in this league. I think his teammates have unbelievable confidence in him. And he's kind of a mellow, low-key kind of guy. And I don't think that if it gets down to the situation at the end of the ball game tomorrow, if there's a field goal to win it, he's going to be overcome by that moment in front of 100,000 people. He's, as you say, ice water in the veins, all that kind of stuff. He's that type of kicker.
Frank Solich has made sure he has put this program in marquee positions because he's been a marquee coach in his career at Nebraska. He's had this program at Tennessee, at Illinois, at Pitt, a couple times at Ohio State, probably should have won one of those at Ohio State. The fact that he's done that, how do you view this moment for Ohio University, because they have lived in that moment before?
It's just another one of those moments. It's not a hold your breath, oh my gosh, what's going to happen here type of moment. I think with what he's done with recruiting, with raising the profile of, frankly, a school that didn't have a profile for college football, all of those things give the players confidence, give fans confidence, and so walking into Beaver Stadium tomorrow is not going to intimidate these guys. You hear that a lot, but I think there's backing to that statement because, as you mentioned, Ohio's gone to Ohio State. Ohio went to Tennessee and probably should have won the ballgame. If a couple things break differently a couple of years ago, Ohio win. And so all these things feed upon themselves and allow Ohio to be in a good situation, to be comfortable, to have a chance to execute in a moment like tomorrow.
Russ, thanks so much for the time you gave us this afternoon. I'm looking forward to joining you on your pregame show tomorrow, and look forward to a great call on your part, too.
Yes.
Russ Eisenstein. He is the play-by-play voice of Ohio University football. I'll come back with the play-by-play voice of Shikellamy football in a moment. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. My goodness, people, it's the weekend, and it's a football weekend. Go to Brewers Outlet first. To me, it's a must. You have to. I'm going to drive from here to there. I want to go so badly because they have everything. I don't want to go to a tailgate anymore unless I go to Brewers Outlet. You should, too. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It's called that for a reason. We continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The car company that helped build America is once again America's number one brand.
Announcing the Labor Day sales event
at Sunbury Motors with great deals for hardworking people like you. From now through September 1st, get a brand new Ford with no money down, no interest for 5 years, no payments for 3 months, plus up to $2,000 Labor Day bonus cash on a Ford Escape, Focus, Fiesta, Edge, Fusion, Flex, or Mustang, and $3,500 on built-up Ford trucks, F-150 and Super Duty. During this limited time offer, everything is on sale. So get into a brand new Ford now with no money down, no interest for 5 years, no payments for 3 months, plus up to $3,500 bonus cash. For complete qualifications and details, call 1-800-358-8090 or go to sunburymotors.com. The Labor Day sales event ends Saturday, September 1st, so hurry into SMC today. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Proudly serving the Susquehanna Valley since 1915.
Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket says,
wow, beer,
$3.39 a six-pack. Yeah, Bud and Bud Light cans, just $3.39 a six-pack purchased by the 30-pack for $16.95. Brewers Outlet always has a deal for you. How about Seagram's Coolers, $21.98 a case? Arizona Iced Tea, big cans, $15.95. Brewers Outlet, we are your beverage supermarket. And don't forget about the Bud and Bud Light can special, $3.39 a six-pack.
Compare anywhere.
Huh. It's got a press release. I'm back.
I didn't know you left.
They
must have been listening that you're back from the break now. Maybe that's what they meant.
No. Yeah, so it says we're on at 10:30. Yeah,
welcome back.
Yeah, that's great. Jack and I, it's our 13th season together.
That's a lot of seasons.
Yeah, as he said, some marriages don't make it that far.
That's true. That's very true.
Yes. Well.
Oh, there you are. I see you now on gopsusports.com.
Yeah.
Steve Jones and Jack Ham will return to broadcast booth for their 13th season.
Yeah. They disappoint me before the field. I talk.
The field's out there. Oh, okay.
Usually
where did they get that picture of you? Oh, couldn't they find a better one?
I don't know, it's probably football eve or pep rally or something.
If I were you, I'd have old pictures of me cleared before they went on the web.
I really don't care.
It'd be better if you were wearing an orange shirt, though.
What am I wearing?
Let's see. It'd be a pale blue charcoal jacket. And
That'd be a gray jacket I have. I don't have a pale blue jacket.
No, I didn't say it was pale blue. I said the shirt was pale blue. The jacket is charcoal.
Right here. Oh, that's fine.
Are blue and white. I mean, I give you credit there. I mean, you were definitely, whatever you were doing, you were in the color scheme.
Okay. Today in sports history, 1881, the first tennis championships in the United States were played. U.S. Open going on right now. How about Andy Roddick retiring at the end of this?
Yeah, said he's done after this.
1950, Gil Hodges of the Brooklyn Dodgers hit four home runs in a single game off four different pitchers. 1959, Sandy Koufax set a National League record by striking out 18 batters. It's impressive what Roger Clemens did by striking out 20 twice, because he did in the American League where he didn't have the easy outs at the end. 1968, at the Summer Olympics in Mexico City, Mike Powell set a record when he jumped 29 feet, 4.5 inches in the long jump, and then Bob Beamon then went past him. 1969, boxer Rocky Marciano died in a plane crash in Iowa. 1995, Judge Lance Ito ruled that only two tapes of racist comments by Mark Furman could be played in the trial of O.J. Simpson. That is this date in history, August 31st. Insert sponsor here. Pressure put on sales staff.
I feel no pressure.
I can tell. All right.
I'm relaxed.
Oh, you're relaxed. You're bouncing off the walls. You're bouncing off the walls.
I got a little over, let's see, where are we at? 121 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great. Oh, 121 minutes.
Yeah.
131 minutes.
No,
you got 91 minutes till you actually walk in, right?
No, I'm thinking about when I have to actually, you know, start working.
Okay, what time are you on the air?
6:30.
Ah, 6:30.
121 minutes, 120 minutes and 30 seconds now. At the start of the music.
That means we're 25 seconds away from the heart and soul, Sarah Bartlett. You're excited, I can tell.
It is the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah, it's a pretty fun time. We're all looking forward to it. I hope you are, too.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
See that poor kid for Kent State last night that picked up the fumble and ran the wrong way?
I heard about it. I didn't see it.
I saw it. What got me is, I'm trying to think of who they were playing, but they tackled him. Why?
Oops. Well, habit.
Let him go.
What was it? Who did that in the NFL? Was it, he was a...
Jim Marshall.
Yeah, I was going to say
Marshall
was a Viking. Guys.
He got to the end zone. He threw the ball into the stands, and Bruce Bosley, the center for the 49ers back then, went up and hugged him. So. well. Yeah, the poor kid last night. That's. I think he ran it back, I think 60 yards the wrong way.
58 yards the wrong way. It was, let's see, he's a Kent State linebacker. Against Towson.
All right. Yeah, against Towson. The Towson kids tackled him. I was sitting there going, I think to myself, what are you doing? The dude's going to score 2 points for you. Let him go. I felt bad for him. Felt really bad.
They actually punted the ball, and it was a muff return. And I'm watching the video. He's got some wheels. He was moving, and they knocked him out of bounds at the 30-yard line.
And you're like, what are you doing? Let him go.
Oh, and the coaches go over to the guys who tackled him going, what are you doing? Let him go. Same right, exact thing you were saying.
See, the kid got lost in the moment. People tackling him got lost in the moment.
Oh. Yeah, he was actually, the return man was actually waving off a chance to catch the ball. And when he did, the ball bounces at about the 15, 16-yard line and hits him in the hands. And the worst part is he's 6 yards from a touchdown if he actually runs it in. But he ran it the other way.
Right. Felt bad for him. Roy Riegels, Jim Marshall. Wow.
Steve, we got Jim on the line for you from Milton. has a question, but has a football question for us.
Hey, Jim, great to hear from you. How are you today, Jim?
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. What a great, great day to start off high school football and college football this season. Two quick points. First of all, for Steve, really excited about the start of the season tomorrow. You know, in spite of everything that's happened, I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch the transition. I'm rooting for, obviously, Bill and the players and all the kids up at the school, and I just think it's going to be a really, really good atmosphere, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Right.
Kevin, I wanted to get your take on something, the area games tonight, and I know Steve can't really comment too much, but from a high school standpoint, I was wondering with Mount Carmel at home in the Silver Bowl, come on. I mean,
I can understand. I understand.
But I wanted to know which game you found to be maybe the most intriguing this evening, something if you couldn't be where you were, where you might want to be. I mean, I have, you know, Lewisburg going up to Towanda. I think they win that game, but I think it might be a little better than others might think. I think Danville crushes Milton. I think Montoursville spanks Warrior Run. Shmokin and Pottsville, don't know. But I personally, and not because I think it's going to be a great game, but I'm curious to see how Selins Grove rebounds from their season last year. Definitely a rare subpar season, something they're not used to down here for quite a while, and starting the year off against the favorite in the league, Mifflinburg, and I just want to get your thoughts on that and see what you might think.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jim, if I had my choice, it would be a tough one because there's really three games that I would really not mind seeing. Lewisburg-Towanda, I think, is going to be a very tight game. As a matter of fact, it may be a prelude to district playoffs later on. I actually think Danville-Milton is going to be a lot closer than some expect. I think Milton, even though they're losing a couple of the running backs, and we talked about that yesterday, I think they're a team that is actually going to be very much underrated. But the big thing is they've had extra weeks now the last 2 years to prepare because they've made the playoffs. That's something Milton hasn't had in a long time. And that's where you usually develop these younger players, is when you get those extra weeks of practice. So I think that game is an interesting one. And I agree with you. I think Selins Grove-Mifflinburg is a very interesting game as well. I've heard rumors that Mifflinburg may have some injuries coming into that game. That could level the playing field a little bit. And as I said, Selins Grove yesterday, we were talking about it. Selins Grove is a team that ran a lot of younger players in there last year and got a lot of experience. I still think they have some growth opportunity on that team. But, again, those would be the three games that I would have a tough choice picking which one to go to.
Well, regardless, you get to go to the Mecca of high school football in this area tonight. And I know it's got to be exciting for Shikellamy fans to see Todd Tilford taking over down there. And I'm just, you know, the start of the high school football season, French fries and vinegar, the smell of fresh-cut grass. I'm ready to go. Hey, you guys have a great weekend. And I'll get in touch next week. And I still got to go. I still say Danville beats Milton very handily. But we'll see, and we'll check in with you next week. Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Jim. Our number 1-800-795-9565 is Jim. Call us on the Lenape Solar Hotline, powered by Lenape Solar. Go to lenapesolar.com.
There's one thing Jim forgot, though, in his pregame meal, especially going down to Mount Carmel, the halushki. Can't do without that.
Without a what?
Halushki. It's noodles, cabbage, potatoes. It's a coal region tradition. And the soupies. I will take you down. You have to experience that. I will take you there sometime. We'll experience that. The halushki.
My granddaughter says the word soupy.
It's not the same. I guess the best way to describe soupy would be, and I'm probably not the best person to describe it, but it's almost like a flexible, pliable beef jerky. It's not as stiff as beef jerky is. That's the best way I could come up with it. It's like a pepperoni. And I'm sure there's 100 people right now sitting there trying to find their phone going, that's not even close to what it is. Let me tell you what it is. So feel free to pick up the phone and call the Lenape Solar Hotline and correct me.
The NCAA, have you seen this one?
I don't know.
Oh, allow me to read it to you.
Okay. Oh, sounds like I'm going to really enjoy this one.
The NCAA finds North Carolina not guilty of academic fraud. The NCAA concluded that North Carolina did not commit any NCAA violations related to student-athletes' participation in the African and Afro-American studies program that included made-up classes and grades. Stuff like that just happens. It's no big deal. On August 23rd, UNC provided an update to the NCAA enforcement staff following a review of the program. The NCAA informed North Carolina that no NCAA rules appear to have been broken in the case of academic fraud. However, three other NCAA probes are ongoing. The class are available to the general student body, including football and basketball players. However, an internal investigation found countless athletes enrolled in dozens of bogus courses that had little or no instruction. Classes included independent study courses and no show classes. The former chairman of the department was forced to retire. Later, North Carolina inadvertently posted the transcript of Julius Peppers online. It was littered with failing grades and highlighted by better scores in classes that fell under the same area of African and Afro-American studies. North Carolina first notified the NCAA in August of 2011 that there were potential academic issues in the major. NCAA launched an investigation and, according to a UNC press release, visited the North Carolina campus several times in the fall of 2011. Based on the joint review, UNC and the NCAA staff concluded there were no violations of current NCAA rules or student-athlete eligibility issues related to courses in African and Afro-American studies. As a result, the NCAA did not add any allegations or include this issue during the university's appearance in October 2011 before the Committee on Infractions. Repeating once again, the NCAA has concluded that North Carolina did not commit any violations related to student-athletes' participation in the African and Afro-American Studies program that included make-believe classes and make-believe grades.
But yeah, there were documents to show that 54 classes from 07 to 2011 would at least bring up questions about the legitimacy of the major.
There was one summer class where 19 participants were in the class, one of them, okay, one of these. 18 were current football players. One was a former football player.
Interesting.
Look, I don't want North Carolina in trouble. Okay? I really don't. Okay? I just don't. This is something not right.
I love the statement, though. The university officials will continue to keep the NCAA informed as developments warrant.
Yes. Well done.
Sure.
Well, that's their issue. Obviously, they lucked out. So Andre Parker recovered the ball, and instead of running into the Towson end zone just yards away, he ran back toward where his team had punted. Picks it up, and away he goes, running the wrong way. He broke one Towson tackle. So it gets me. He breaks tackles. They're trying to tackle him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what are you doing? He's helping you.
Are yelling not at all their defense. You can tell it's first game of the season.
Yeah.
That's the worst. And the worst thing is, the poor kid will never, ever.
Yeah,
ever
but it didn't.
Hear the
but it
end
didn't
of
matter
it.
Though. I mean, because it was a down. It's a down punt. He downed the ball at the 7 yard line. That's where Towson got the ball.
But still, nobody's going to remember that.
Yeah, but that him running it back is irrelevant. As soon as he touched it, the ball was dead.
Well, and I know, and it didn't affect the game, but when you look at it for the rest of your life on YouTube, nobody's going to remember the fact that it was downed at, like, the 6 yard line. They're going to remember the fact that he ran it back the wrong way.
Yeah.
Hey, did you hear about this? You were talking about something new at the stadium for tomorrow. It's something to help you find your car after the game. It's the Beaver Stadium app. It's available on the iTunes store. Now, I'm not exactly sure how it works because I just got wind of this today. It's not available yet for Android, but it's to help you find your car after the game.
Really? All I do is just write down the number of the parking space.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't even relate to a question or to an issue like that, so don't even comment. I've parked in yellow so many times, I feel like Big Bird.
Yeah, I can't relate to this.
Not at all. And let me tell you something. When you park and it's daylight in yellow, and you start making the hike, which feels like 3 miles uphill to go into the game, fighting off a coronary by the time you get to the top of the hill into the stadium, then when you come back and it's dark, it's like, wait a minute, which lot was that again?
Right.
How many of us have gone with our keys and set off our car alarm to find out which one's our car? I'll raise my hand on that one.
By the way, Fitzgerald Toussaint is not going to play tomorrow for Michigan against Alabama.
Nope.
Gained 1,200 yards last year. So it's all going to be on the shoulders of Denard Robinson.
Now, that should be nothing new for him. He's used to that.
No offense. I've seen Denard Robinson in person. I've seen the Alabama defense in person. Their people are just as quick. That's an issue.
That's true.
And he doesn't throw the ball well enough.
No.
Okay. I mean, that's what gets me. I watched the Big Ten preview last night. They're going on and on about Ohio State should be should be in first place in the leaders division and this, that, and the other thing. Miller doesn't throw the ball well at all. He just doesn't. I think they're going to be 8-4. They think they're going to be like 11-1. Their defense is really good. But offensively, they don't have a big-time tailback. Your quarterback can't throw. Wideouts can run around all they want. If you get them to get the ball there, it doesn't matter. Unless he's made some dramatic improvement I don't know about. I don't see how it's going to happen. I just don't. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It's the weekend. Not only that, it's a Labor Day weekend. Stock up. Stock up. We're in the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf. And don't forget, we also have the Lenape Solar Hotline at 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. We will wrap up the week and get Kevin out the door as he attempts to break 12, maybe 13, 14 different laws to get to Mount Carmel so he can sit in the parking lot for 32 minutes until they open the gate. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
All right. Football tonight, Shikellamy at the Silver Bowl against Mount Carmel. Looking forward to that. Kevin and Dick Hort with the call this evening. Penn State football tomorrow. The Nittany Lions at Ohio University. Jack and I on the call. We start with the pregame with Roger Corey at 10:30. Lauren Crispell joins us on the sidelines. Grantland's top 50 starts with the most difficult player to gauge the entire list. All right. He had Peyton Manning, 50. Victor Cruz, 49. Jimmy Graham, 48. Okay, B.J. Raji, 47. Brian Cushing, 46. Justin Smith, 45. Peppers, Cole, Allen, Williams. Mario Williams up 41.
Please tell me Tebow's not there.
Asamuga, Rice, Jake Long. Let's see. They're just rating players there. Let's see. Click here, part two. It's like these fantasy guys, right?
That's right.
Yeah, this is why would you pick an offensive lineman at your fantasy list? Navarro Bowman, 37. Ladarius Webb, Brandon Flowers, Joe Hayden, Larry Fitzgerald, 33. Stafford, 32. Gronkowski, 31. Ngata, 30. Dwayne Brown, 29. Sue at 28. Flacco, 27.
Julio Jones, 26. A.J. Green, 25. Mike Wallace, 24. Really? Brian Arakpo, who was great in the Geico commercials, 23. Patrick Willis, 22. Alden Smith, 21. Von Miller, 20. Jason Pierre-Paul, 19. Cutler, Vic, Griffin III, Rivers, Roethlisberger to get you to 14. Joe Thomas, 13. Calvin Johnson, 12. Patrick Peterson, 11. Clay Matthews, 10. Matty Ice, 9. Cam Newton, 8. DeMarcus Ware, 7. Darrell Revis, 6. Eli Manning, 5. Andrew Luck, 4. Drew Brees, 3. Tom Brady, 2. Aaron Rodgers, 1. You, of course, missed your draft and ended up with the Patriots' backfield. Is that true?
Is what true?
That you missed your draft.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
And you've had to bounce back.
I drafted the Chargers' defense.
It's going to be a long year for you.
Yeah, boy. By the way, I did download the Penn State app.
And?
Well, you get news, game information, player information. You can also get replays on it in the stadium, especially.
Good.
And the best part is the parking. If you hit the parking button, you can mark your parking spot.
Great.
And then it will help you map your way back to your parking spot. Now, that is a useful app.
Yes, it is. Can you use it at the mall?
Can you mark your parking spot? Actually, I think you can. I mean, it's not limited to, you know, the Beaver Stadium proximity. So, yeah.
Cool. I like it. What about car keys?
If you left them somewhere and you mark where you left them, you'd be able to find them. But usually you don't leave them and remember where you left them in the first place.
TV remote?
No. But they do have a beeper for that. But then you can do what I did and lose the beeper. So when you hit the button, you don't have a remote control to hit the button with in the first place.
Remember yesterday I told you about the Kevin Dare run?
Yes.
I want to get this in here.
Go ahead.
They finished today. 1,000 miles. They finished about 1:30 this afternoon. 10-man relay run in conjunction with Life Back on the Track nonprofit organization run by the Kevin Dare Foundation. 95 hours and 3 minutes, 1 second officially.
Wow.
8 members who are Nittany Lion alumni, 2 who are Lock Haven graduates. 95 hours, 3 minutes, 1,000 miles. Minneapolis, where Kevin Dare passed away to State College. To the Penn State track, the Nittany Lion track. Great weekend, great game tonight, Kev.